shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
1 Peter 5:7. Here Peter exhorts the brethren by saying that we are to cast all of our care upon Jesus, upon God, for he careth for you. And then he commands to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Now here Peter is getting into some very important elements of why. You know, it first says that we are to cast all our care upon him, for he careth for you. This is probably the hardest thing that we as God's people have to do, is to cast our cares upon him. I particularly like the translation here because it shows you that it's in the tense where it says casting, which is expresses continuous action. That you are to continually cast your care upon God. To know that he careth for you, that we are his people. We're his children. And he loves us. He loves us so much that he was willing to come and die on a cross for us that we might be redeemed and have the privilege again to enter into a relationship with him. And because he cares for us, and because we cast our cares upon him, then we are to be sober. We are to be vigilant. And there's a reason. Here again, we fall short. We're not sober. That word sober doesn't mean that you're not to be a drunk. The word sober means to have a strong mind, a sound mind, the opposite of fear. Be sober. Vigilant. This gets into our word diligent, which also gets into the other word to continue, to endure. Matter of fact, the word diligent in the Greek is also translated in 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Remember where it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word study is the same word that is also translated diligent. Let's be diligent. We're to be sober. We're to have a sound and strong mind, and we are to be diligent. Vigilant means always working, strengthened, ready to labor and laboring, doing your utmost at all times. Why? Because your adversary, you have an adversary, and if you're not vigilant, and if you don't have a sound mind, then you're going to fall prey to the adversary, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. This is a problem in the kingdom movement here in our country. The people aren't sober. They're scared of everything going. They're not vigilant. They're not always worried. They're scared to give anybody something, or ashamed of the word, and ashamed of the truth, and ashamed of the Lord that speaks the truth, and they won't confess Him. And yet they want to hide in little groups in a corner somewhere and talk and say, oh, isn't it wonderful that we can get together and talk about the truth? Isn't that an indictment against us? We're not vigilant and we're not sober. And so what happens? Our adversary is devouring us. He's devouring our land. He's devouring our nation. We haven't caused our people to see their sin. They were scared to death today. We sin in every area of our life. We sin in how we eat. We eat wrong. We won't talk to people about how they should eat. We spend our money wrongly. We don't tithe to God. You don't speak to somebody about tithing anymore. It's very offensive to them. So we won't say anything in this area. Our race laws are wrong. Have we caused our people to know their sin? See, we're always scared of offending someone. I thank God, though, that Jesus wasn't scared of offending someone. Matter of fact, He said, many will be offended in Me. He told them before they ever started that they weren't going to like what He had to say. I'm glad Peter wasn't worried about offending anyone. He just got up and flat told it like it was. The only trouble is, it's the same way today. Peter told them what they had done. He told them their sin. He caused them to see what they were. The error of their what? Paul. Same thing. Even in Galatians, Paul says, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He made enemies telling the truth. Well, that's the way it has to be. But he told the truth. And where did he tell it? He wasn't running off and hiding somewhere out in the woods and sneaking around and whispering and all that kind of foolishness. He was willing to take the Word of God and expound on it wherever he was, with whomever he was. Even in the face of the very enemy, the very adversary himself. Because of this, the Jews took up plans to kill Paul two times, we know in the Scriptures, that they had planned and made a vow that they were going to kill Paul. We know that they beat him on occasions. They even stoned him to where he was dead for all practicality. His brethren came out, prayed. God raised him up. To be sober, to be vigilant. We're not. And because of it, we're being devoured by our adversary. The president thinks he's going to make peace, that he's going to make peace with the adversary. They don't make peace, they devour you. You can drink all the booze you want to and sign all the papers you want to. What good does it do? We signed the paper with Japan before World War II that would limit the navies of those other countries. What good it did, isn't it? We've signed treaty after treaty. God forbids us to do it, but nevertheless we do, thinking we can appease our adversary. But you don't appease your adversary. Your adversary has one purpose, to devour you. First, he has to deceive you, though. But after his deception, he devours you. This is what's taking place in our nation. But do we raise up and speak against it and cause our people to know their sin from the Word of God? No, we don't want to be radical. So we're not sober, we don't have a strong mind, we're not determined, We don't have courage. We don't have fortitude. We just want to throw in the towel. Talking with Pastor Reed the other night, he said the greatest thing that he has trouble with is the complacency of people in Baltimore. But it just isn't in Baltimore. It's here. Our complacency. We're not sober. We're not vigilant. Our adversary is, though, and we do have an adversary. Realize that. And this was established by God in Genesis 3:15, where he says that he will put enmity between Satan and the woman and between her seed and his seed. Enmity between the children of God and the children of Satan. You cannot appease them. They're your adversaries, and they're going to devour you, or else you will devour them. That's our commission. We're to fight the good fight of the faith. We're to war against powers and principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why we're to take on the armor of God, so that we can carry on a good warfare. You talk to people about the armor of God today, they don't know anything you're talking about. All they want to do is say, well, I got saved. They don't even know what they're talking about when they say that. I'm going to heaven. Well, it might be better for Christianity if they really would go. Get them out of here. They always want to run. Anybody can come along with any doctrine that will get you out of the situation you've created, and you're all for it. So they can stand up and preach that, well, you know, everybody's going to be caught up and taken off. Then tribulation begins. Boy, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? See, our complacency, our indifference, our ignorance of the Word of God brings all this evil upon us, and then we're silly enough to think that God's going to deliver us from it. God will deliver us from it when we confess our sin to God, when we realize our ignorance and our complacency and our indifference, and when we turn, and when we get sober, when we get vigilant, then God will deliver us. People don't understand the first thing about living today. You ask them, what's life all about? I don't know. You know. What is this thing that we're here for? Do you think God is a God of confusion? The Scripture says He's not. Our God's not a God of confusion. Our God is a God of order and plan. As a matter of fact, Paul says that nature can teach us things about God. The stars teach us things about the plan of God. We know that this whole universe is established upon a very definite, precise plan. There's a definite order in everything. So that means that God has a plan for this whole universe. And the atom, the smallest particle we know in the universe, it has a definite plan and purpose and a definite construction. There's nothing random about it. There's definite laws that govern it and hold it together. And when you break these laws, it breaks down. So if God governs everything, great and small, don't you think He has a purpose for you and a plan for your life? And a plan for our nation? People don't care anymore. Here, God's got a purpose for our life. But are we going to find out what it is? People want to know, what's God's purpose for my life? What's His will for my life? Evidently, God's got something. He put us here. And why did He put so many of us here? Questions that never are answered in church. They don't have the least understanding about it. Here we know that in the purpose and plan of God, that God has established both good and evil. Now, let that sink in on you for a minute. God has established both good and evil. He created both. He created light and darkness. He created evil. Now, this is what the Word teaches. Isaiah the prophet brings this out about God creating these two diametrically opposed conditions in our land. Two opposites. God's always doing things in an opposite way. Have you ever thought about electricity? You have opposite currents. You have a negative and a positive. Even in the cycles, we have night and day, opposites. In every area, there's always opposites. In an airplane, the only reason an airplane flies is because of opposites. Thrust and drive. Opposites. You remember the old saying that everything that goes up must come down? Opposites. This is a definite law of science. That for every reaction, there is an opposite and equal action. Always an opposite in every way. This is established by God. God brought these things to pass to teach us some very definite principles. And so we have God, the creator of these opposites. We have the North Pole. We have the South Pole. We have the opposites in magnetism, the compass. We couldn't travel on this earth if we didn't have the North Pole and these attractions. But God's created good and He's created the opposite of good. Evil. Notice, Isaiah the prophet goes into this in Isaiah 45:7. God says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Who was it that created Satan? God. If God didn't create him, then God didn't create all things, did he? Why did God create Satan? Satan has a purpose. Satan has a plan. He is a definite element in the plan of God to accomplish not his will, but God's will. Everybody's running around today saying Satan's winning everything. The devils are taking over. The devil has no more power and authority than what God gives. People want to say, well, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do anything. The devil didn't make you do anything. The devil doesn't have power over your life. Read Corinthians. Paul says that there's no temptation that'll come to you that is not common to all men. And that with every temptation, God always makes a way to overcome it or to escape. You don't have to be ensnared in it and pulled down by it. You choose that. And that's why Deuteronomy 30 says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Or Joshua said that. And what was he speaking about? What Moses had already said in Deuteronomy 30 about, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life then. The devil didn't make you do it. You chose to do it. This is what life is all about. Life is a struggle of opposites. And you're put here to see which side is going to have the greatest pull on you and get you. It's like a magnet in a piece of steel. Which pole are we going to be drawn to? We're going to be drawn to evil. Or to good? To God? Or to Satan? How can God divide except He puts an opposite attraction? Something to pull off. That's the reason for Satan. Jesus said, I didn't come to send peace on earth, but I came to send division. Well, how can God divide if He doesn't have opposite forces? This is how He does. He pulls them. An opposite direction. This is of God. And this is how God will prove what you are. He'll make every thought of your heart manifest. How? The whole world just stands back and watch which side you drift to. You either drift to God and are strengthened, become stronger as you move, or you move to the other end of the spectrum. But we're all moving. We're not sitting still. Our adversary, the devil, is the opposite force, and God has given him power so that he can pull all that will not follow God away from God. That's his whole purpose and his whole intent. So when you say, well, I sin, the devil made me do it, you're just making an indictment against yourself saying, well, I'm joined sides with Satan. I've become a proselyte to Satan. I've been pulled to his camp. Why? Why does this happen? Satan devours, but notice we're to resist, aren't we? How? Steadfast in the faith. That's how you resist. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I know, I don't care who comes to this church, but I know one thing. They're going to have to go through hell if they keep coming. You hear me? Why? Because the afflictions I underwent, you're going to have to undergo. And I know what I've gone through. And I know what you're going to go through. People think that I'm hard to get along with sometimes. Because I want, you know, just poor little things and pat them on the head. And oh, you don't need that. You need somebody to say, it's going to be rough. You need to find out you're going to suffer. And you're not going to be very well alive. Jesus told his disciples, man, these people are out and said, we're not following you, Jesus. He said, before you follow me, you better stop and think what it's going to cost you. Because I'm not going to have any followers that won't deny themselves and take up their cross daily. I'm not going to have a single one that won't do that. So I know what you're going to have to go through if you make it. And I know a little of what you'll go through if you don't. Your brethren, they undergo the same afflictions. You read about Paul in Corinthians. Notice, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. And look at the things Paul went through. 2 Corinthians 11, 24. Or 23. He asks the question, are they ministers of Christ? He says, now I speak as a fool. In other words, I'm going to tell you what I've been through. Now, I'm not boasting of me, but I'm telling you what I've gone through. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. Well, I've been beaten. Well, I can't count the times I've been beaten. In prisons, more frequent. Man, he didn't say in prison once. He said more frequent. He frequented the prison. He wasn't running in there of his own free will either. He was dragged off to jail. And he was beaten in death. See, this is why I believe Paul actually died when they stoned him. He evidently died more than one time because he says in death, plural, often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. That was the maximum that he could be beaten. 39 stripes. How many times did he receive the maximum? Five times. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Why, one enough, they was using whips on me, they started using rods on me. Almost like a two before worked him over. Once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep. Well, he was out in the sea floating around for a night and a day. In journeyings, often. In perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brothers. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, what did Peter tell us? He says, those things that we go through, those afflictions, all of our brethren are going through. Now then, brethren, look at the afflictions Paul went through, and you better write it down. You're going to have to go through some that's just as bad, just as tough. You ready to be beat with whips, rods, and stones? Well, we can't even take a little talk. Somebody gets that little tongue wagging after us. No, it just tears us to pieces. Well, I guarantee you one thing, tongue isn't too tough when they start laying them other things on you. I got tickled at a young man. He told me he was preaching. He wasn't going to quit preaching. This guy said, I'll shut you up. He said, no, you won't. The guy started beating on him. He said, you know, said he did shut me up. See, don't stand there and say what you'll do and what you won't do. You better go through it first and find out. We ain't been through anything. Let's back up a little bit. We're in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. Notice, we were reading in Peter about our adversary, the devil, who goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But before he can devour, he must do something else. Look in the third verse, 2 Corinthians 11:3. Paul says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul says, you're going to be corrupted and deceived. How? Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, workers of deception, transforming, and that word transforming means to disguise, to masquerade, masquerading themselves as the apostles of Christ, disguising themselves as the apostles of Christ. And it's no big mystery, it's no marvel. Why? Because their leader's doing it, isn't he? He says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Why, he's disguised himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. All right, the devil's going around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but the devil ain't going to appear to you as a roaring lion. That devil, he's going to be disguised as an angel of light. And he's going to come and he's going to teach you the word. Or to say it more accurately, he's going to teach you about the word. He won't teach you any word. He doesn't want you to know any word, but he'll teach you about the word. He's going to teach you about what to believe about the Bible. He won't teach you to believe the Bible. He'll teach you what to believe about the Bible. Here's some of these guys on the radio preaching. They're going to tell you what to believe about the Bible. They got more foolishness, vain traditions. They won't teach you anything. They won't teach you to believe the Bible and then read it to you. And say, here's what the Bible says. They'll read the Bible and say, all right now, this is what you should believe about what it says. And they won't compare Scripture with Scripture. You just listen to them sometimes. Man, they get so far off in the deep end. Just like that preacher that sent me the track on how I can go to heaven. He's going to tell me how I can go to heaven. And every verse he quoted in that track, there was not the first word heaven in any of the verses. Nowhere does the Bible say that you're going to die and go to heaven sometime. Boy, it just shocks people to death when you tell them that. That's tore up their little playhouse, but good. Did Jesus, when his disciples came to him, said, Jesus, teach us to pray. Did he say, all right, you pray this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom go to heaven, and thy will be done in heaven. And give us our daily bread and all. He didn't say that, did he? Take us to heaven and all. You know what he said? Thy kingdom come on earth. Thy will be done on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't teach us, dear God, take us to heaven. He taught us to pray, God, bring heaven to earth. All the way through, Paul talks about the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But what do we think? We think flesh and blood can't go to heaven. All the way through the Bible, it's the kingdom of God spoken of. And we're going to be resurrected to reign and rule in the kingdom of God. But the average person thinks they're going to be raised to go off to heaven. They don't know about the kingdom of God. They don't know anything that pertains to the kingdom of God. They don't know what pertains in the resurrection and the offices that will be open for them to fill in the kingdom of God. I got the weirdest ideas. I heard some guy say that he was going to, you know, go off up to heaven and sit around and play harps. Isn't that the silliest thing? And you say, where's that in the Bible? Well, I know it's in there. I've heard that all my life. It's in there. Satan, disguising himself as an apostle of God, as an angel of light, comes along and he deceives them, and because of their deception, they are devoured. They have no strength, they have no power in their life. They're blown by every wind of doctrine. You go in the average Christian home tonight, people that would argue with you about the truths of the Word, you could read it to them out of the Bible, and they say, well, I don't believe what it says. And they want to try to tell you that they know Christ, and you're in their home 5 minutes, and they're fighting and fussing, and their kids are fighting and fussing, and they're running around in their long hair and all that stuff. Guy on television last night, supposed to be a big preacher, had hair down his back and all that stuff. Silliest looking thing I ever seen. They're supposed to be the apostles of Christ. Could you imagine Paul doing stuff like they do today? Or Peter. You know the kind of people Paul and Peter and all of them were? They were the kind they just used old, plain, common English or Aramaic or Greek or whatever they spoke in. They didn't have their stained glass voices and very precise in the way they said it. Look, we're reading the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Look at the 6th verse. Paul says, but though I be rude in speech, yeah, he was rude in speech. A lot of people thought he was just plain coarse. Not only in speech, but conduct. They didn't much like the way he acted either. Didn't like the way he talked. Didn't like the way he acted. But he said, yet not in knowledge. Not ignorant. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Paul says, you've seen my life. You've seen that I put my money where my mouth is. You know that to be a fact. But then you let these mamby-pamby, spineless creatures come in and pervert the word, and you get drawn off following them thinking they're some angel of light when actually they're the ministers of Satan. And you're going to be devoured by them. They're going to fleece you. They're going to take you for a ride. I can just see those kind. They'll be out driving the big cars and living in the most expensive places and be taking their trips all over the world, all that kind of silly stuff with your money. Talk to them about spending some on you or doing something out of their own pocket. My mother's telling me about a fella, supposed to be a big preacher here in town. Took one of these tours off to the Holy Lands. He made about $7,000 on the tour for taking it. Plus, he got his way paid. While he was over there, there was another little trip they could take, go up on one of these mountains, and it was like an extra $25, and he got to tell all the people he just couldn't afford it, so they took up a collection, gave him $25. It already took him for $7,000, plus got a free trip out of the deal. He wasn't satisfied. See, they're going to devour you. They're not going to feed you. You're going to feed them. They're not going to come around and ask, what can I do for you? They're going to be busy telling you what you can do for them. Get you all excited in their program. What happened? Turn to 2 Thessalonians. Here's the people that this happens to, though. It doesn't happen to everybody, just to a select group. The in crowd, so to speak. Are deceived and devoured. Who are they? 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, the 11th verse. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but hath pleasure in unrighteousness. Now let's read this again. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. For what cause? Look up above that. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And it's for this cause that God will send them strong delusion that they would believe a lie. Why? Because through their belief in the lie, they're going to be damned. Now the word damned there is a Greek word that is translated elsewhere as judged. Are condemned. Doesn't mean they're going to be thrown into hell, because hell is going to be done away with. Revelation 21st chapter says that hell is put into the lake of fire, which is the second death. So hell ends. It's done. It's thrown into the lake of fire. It's put into the second death. He's talking about they're going to come into condemnation. They're going to be judged. Because they did not love the truth. What's truth? Remember Pilate? Jesus was there before him, and Pilate said, well, what is truth? Pilate knew what truth was. We know what truth is. We don't like to admit it. We don't really like to think about truth. What's truth? All right, I want to tell you tonight. John 17:17. Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. All right, what's truth? God says, his word is truth. Jesus says, thy word is truth. Underline that. Somebody wants to know what truth is, tell them the word. That's truth. And these people are going to be sent strong delusion because they do not love the truth. They don't love the word. Now, you want to know why your friends that you can't get into the word of God and don't desire the word of God don't understand anything about the word of God? Do you understand now why they're so deluded? And this is all God. God says, I'll send them strong delusion. I'll do this. This is of me. Because I'm going to separate them. And I'm going to prove those that love me will be doing what? They love the word. And those that don't love the word, I'm going to have them out over here against other people. I'm going to separate them. Right now, today, in this age, I'm going to separate. He's done that with us here. He'll continue to do it. He'll do it throughout our nation. God is going to separate those that love the Word from those that don't love the Word. Those that love the Word will grow an understanding of the Word. Their faith will be strengthened. God will be real in their lives. They will know what is about to happen in their land. They will understand prophecy, for God will reveal it to them. But those that don't love the Word, they're the group that's all going to fly away. They're the group that, if you ask them what life is all about, they think it's sitting at home and watching some dumb ball game and drinking their beer and all that kind of stuff. They really think that's living. They think that's life. Run over here at UT and pay $7, $8, $9 and watch that dumb stuff. They think that's life. That's that group out there. They don't love the Word. And that's why they don't know anything about the world. That's why they won't argue with you. They're going to heaven. Must be going to play football up there. They'll get bored. They wouldn't like it up in heaven if they really went. Unless it was one big football field or baseball field or brewery or something like that. That's the way it is. The preachers out here leave. The ministers of Satan have disguised themselves as the apostles of Christ. But this is all of God. Don't think for one minute that that group is not in God's control, for they are too. They're being controlled by God through one of God's agents, Satan. They're being controlled. But we're not to be controlled. That is, if we love the Word, we're to let God control us directly Himself and believe us. Don't think the devil's winning everything and our poor old God, he just can't do anything right. And he's got just a little group here. And the only reason he's got a little group, why, Satan's got everybody and Satan's got all the power and Satan's got, crowd's got all the fun and they're doing all the things. And God just letting that go on to get them out, to separate. And that's a purpose, the plan of God. To separate, bring division. So what should we pray for? Thy will be done. What's God's will? You know what God's will is? If you were to pray for God's will to be done, do you know what God's will is? 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter, the 4th verse. 1 Timothy 2:4, here's God's will, that all men are to be saved, that all men are to come unto the knowledge of the truth. It's God's will. We're to come into a knowledge of the truth. What's truth? The Word. One day, not in this age, nor in the age to come, but in the ages to come, God's will be performed on earth.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our costs plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA,
or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at the same time and station.
Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Today I want to speak to you about the quotation, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." No, these aren't the words of our president or any other government official. They're not the words of a noted philosopher or of a far-out idealist. Well, why are they worth our attention? Simply because they are the words of our God, Jesus Christ, as recorded in John 8:32. Today, many people are claiming to be in search of truth, but is always able to elude their grasp, thus fulfilling the Bible prophecy for our day that they are ever learning and ever able to come to a knowledge of the truth, 2 Timothy 3:7. What is truth? According to Jesus Christ, who only a few Christians care to listen to, in John 17:17, he states, "God's word is truth." Therefore, if we are to be free, then our liberty must come through knowledge of the Bible. Now, God warns us in Hosea 4:6 that my people, Christian America, are destroyed through lack of knowledge. Through the knowledge of God's Word, we can have liberty, or because of our lack of knowledge of God's Word, we will have disaster. Look around the world situation today, and what do you find? Knowledge of God's Word and liberty? Apply this to your own personal life. Do you have a true knowledge of the Bible? If so, then you know the wonderful liberty that only God gives, and if not, then you have already realized that something is seriously wrong in your life. You know, it's ironic that the very thing that can give us the answer to world, national, and our own personal problems is the very thing that we never have time to study. We are creatures of habit, especially the wrong habit. We never learn from past mistakes, and a review of history will reveal that we just keep making the same old mistakes over and over again. When conditions were critical and the bare facts needed to be presented, people always refused to even think about the grave situation. They would try to be like an ostrich and bury their heads in the sand, hoping that eventually the problems will just go away if ignored long enough. Now, in Isaiah 30:8-10, God speaks concerning these cowards. "Now go, write it before them in a table and not in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, 'See not,' and to the prophets, 'Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit.'" Today, the church people are saying the same thing. "See not. Speak smooth, soothing things unto us. Stay out of that part of the Bible. It's not important." Well, that's just too fanatical, even if the Bible does say it. Preach love. So what if God says every situation is different, and today those are old fundamental standards, and they just don't apply today?
And on they go with their endless excuses, trying to justify the way they live instead of obeying God's word. Our puppet people are always mouthing these statements when confronted with the applied truth of God's word, how they rebel against God. But he was not born yesterday. He knew this would be the very way people would become, and said in 2 Timothy 4, 3-4, the Amplified Version, that the time is coming when people will not tolerate, endure, sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the error they hold, will turn aside from having the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fiction. You know, we've run the full course today. We've turned our back upon the Bible and are running off into myths and man-made fiction. The churches of today will not teach from only the Bible. Instead, they insist upon using quarterlies which teach their brand of man-made fiction, for the Bible does not contain any. Have you ever thought about why the denominational structures are always pushing their books and programs by men while parroting, "You just can't use the Bible. You need more"? I know that they will not listen to Jesus Christ, but for all that will, he says in John 6:63, that it is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing, that is, programs and books, quarterlies by men. These words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. You know, life only comes through the Word of God, the Bible. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:7, "Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again." How is one born again? This question is answered by one of Jesus' disciples, Peter, in his first epistle, the first chapter, the 23rd verse. Peter says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." One is born again only through the word of God. Will the word of God soothe and please you? The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is not pleasant to be operated upon with a sword. Surgery is also very painful, but needful when removing a deadly cancer. Will you still run from the sword and allow the cancerous condition to eat away unchecked? In Deuteronomy 30:15-19, God makes his summation. "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Life or death is the choice you are faced to make. God says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, you, which are called by my name, Christians, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face," God's will for their life, "and turn from their wicked ways," our present course, "then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." What will bring this repentance to our nation? Only preaching the truth of the Holy Bible. In Jeremiah 23:22, God says, "If they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people, Christian America, to hear my words, then they should have turned them from the evil of their way and from the evil of their doing." Our only hope as a people is that God will raise up men to speak his word, men who will stand for the truth while all of Satan's forces are unleashed against them. We know that those who hate Jesus Christ and his word will attack us for speaking the truth, just as they attacked the Apostle Paul when he said in Galatians, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" even other preachers, because of their resentment and desire to justify themselves for not standing for the Word of God, will speak all evil against us. Notice how they always attack the messenger when they can never refute the message. Do you desire to know the truth and to be made free? Then you must obey God and study the Bible for yourself. Don't take man's word for it, and don't take ours, but open your Bible, and you do as the Apostle Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our costs plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.